think I left off where it started going through the judges, Deborah, Samson, Gideon, and then the anarchy. So if you find that line, I think it's on the second page, about 10 or so lines down, you'll see Deborah, Samson, Gideon, and anarchy. Those of you who are new, like the students, we're walking through the story of the Bible. It's one overarching story. It's not little tiny stories, and it's all good nuggets. It's not like Aesop's fables where they're all separated and we just kind of jump in and we can read a story on its own. No, the Bible is telling one story through these different things. We talked about last week the Chronicles of Narnia. If you've read that or any other kind of series of books that you have read that are, you know, 6 or 7 books long, even if you jump into book 4, that's not in itself a book, right? It's part of a larger story. If you just read book 4 on its own, you might be a little bit lost if it's a 7-part series book. If you read book 4, you're going to understand the first previous 3 books, and you're going to want to read the last few books to understand it. That's the way the story of the Bible is. If you just read about the judges, it's not going to make any sense unless you read the before and the after as one overarching story. So that's what we're looking at for the next 10 weeks. 9 weeks now remaining. We started last week with the first week, and this is week 2 out of 10. So this is the overarching story, and we are going to be memorizing this over the next 10 weeks. The first line, and then you all will repeat the italicized underlined word, and that's your memorized. So ideally, by the end of 10 weeks, this paper will be in the trash because you'll have everything up here, right? That's the goal, okay? We're going to be reviewing it every week. All right, so where we are at in the story is, like I said, right the end of those judges on the second page, about 10 lines down, where we get to anarchy. So I'm going to continue that story as you guys still get settled down here. The people look around and see that everyone else has kings, so they want a king. God tells them, you don't want a king. He will tax you, and you will have to serve him. Plus, God does not want them to have a king, because he is their king. But the people insist, so God gives them a king. God tells Samuel, who is the last judge and the first prophet, to anoint the first king, Saul, which you can read about in the book of 1 Samuel. After God removes Saul, God has Samuel anoint the second king, David, a man after God's own heart, in the book of 2 Samuel. God further clarifies his promise, which he made with Abraham, by promising David in a covenant form that the coming king who will bring in the kingdom will come from his line, establishing David's throne forever. As a result, the third king is Solomon, and you can read about him in the book of 1 Kings. As promised, he is from David's line. He is David's son. He is the one who is to build a temple for God. The fourth is Rehoboam, Solomon's son. And he wants to become richer than his father, so he taxes the people to death. And there is a revolt. As a result, the kingdom splits, and there's a bomb that goes off. Boom! And there's a bomb. Because Jerry bomb goes off. Okay, and that's your memory aid. Jerry bomb, a general, he goes to the north, and Rehoboam, goes to the south. 10 tribes go to the north, and 2 go to the south. 10 in the north are called Israel, and the 2 in the south are called Judah. Then God raises up prophets to try to shape up Israel and Judah. But no one listens. Because they don't listen, what does God do? Well, just as he promised in his covenant with them at Mount Sinai and in the second giving of the law on the plains of Moab, he brings in the Assyrians from the north to take the northern tribes captive. The Assyrians are very cruel, and they are feared because they do things like ripping people apart and filleting their prisoners while still alive. This captivity is 200 years after the split kingdom in 722 BC. Therefore, the prophets in the south start prophesying to Judah. but they don't listen. So God brings in the Babylonians, Babylonians. So I'll do this to get you to think. To take them captive for 70 years. The Babylonians are educators. They take young men like Daniel and his companions and educate them to serve the king by ruling over their own people. This captivity is 150 years after the Assyrian captivity. So why 70 years? Well, they didn't let the land lay rest. Every seventh year, as commanded in the law, which is the plan to deal with the poor and let them start over. Then a new empire takes over, the Babylonians, it's the Medes and the Persians. So, under this new empire, God allows Judah to come back in three expeditions to their land that is in rubble. The first is led by Zerubbabel, and he rebuilds the temple. And the second is led back by Ezra, and he rebuilds their hearts, the hearts of the people. And the third is led back by a short, stubby guy, Nehemiah. Nehemiah. So I'll do this to remind you of Nehemiah. So he's Nehi. And he rebuilds the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Then there's a great silent period for 400 years between the Jewish scriptures and the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. The prominent world ruler during this time is Alexander the Great. He is Greek, so the New Testament is written in Greek. That concludes your walk through the Bible. Okay, so let's start from the very beginning. You may use this if you need to. This will be our second week to go over this, so if you need this as a clue, as a help, use it. If not, look at me, and I'll help give you your clues. All right, let's start back over from the very beginning. Turn over the page, and we'll start over. Again, you guys will repeat back to me the italicized underlined word as your memory, okay? So our walkthrough starts in what town? Our four main characters are? God tells them to leave, so they go up what river? For what reason? Until they come to what town? Haran. Who dies? They leave Haran and go into the land of? Where God promises Abraham three things. Abraham has two sons. And Isaac has two sons. How many sons does Jacob have? And the second to the youngest is? Joseph is favored by his father, hated by his brothers, so he is sold into? In the country of Egypt. In the house of? Potiphar. Remember this thing. Where he eventually becomes? Because of the famine, Joseph brings his family down to Egypt. There, Israel grows into a? How many people? Joseph dies, new Pharaoh takes over, and we have? Then God raises up a deliverer. Pharaoh won't let the Israelites go, so God brings about plagues for three reasons. I'm going to pause right here. You guys sound so bored. Man, you go,
Egyptian gods.
Come on. Are we really that dead in here? Come on. This is an exciting story, all right? Let's get some volume. Let's get some. You guys, there's probably, 50 people in here? I feel like there's about 10 in the room, all right? I need to be able to hear you, okay? So, Moses leads them out across what sea? They take a right to? Where God gives them?
The law.
There are three divisions of the law.
Civil,
the first principles of the law are called?
Amen.
And how many are there altogether?
613.
God makes a covenant with them. Obey and be?
Blessed.
Disobey and be?
Cursed.
They say they will obey, so Moses leads them across the wilderness into what town? Katie's Bar and Grill. Remember, that's why I'm flipping the burgers. Where they send out how many spies into the land? And what do they say?
And
the two are?
Yes.
And as a result, they for how long?
4 years.
Until everyone except Moses then leads them up to the plain to the where he gives them the law. Then God raises up a new leader. Joshua then leads them across what river?
Jordan.
To the capital city of
Jericho.
Where they have a
smashing success.
There we go. You guys are getting into it. Then they go 14 miles northwest to the town of
Rahab.
Where they suffer.
Indeed.
After they deal with Achan, they take the south. How?
Totally.
And then the north? Then they divide up the land into how many parts?
12.
Where who are the prominent leaders during the time?
Judges.
The female is
Deborah.
And who is the strong judge?
Samson.
And who is the judge with all the Bibles?
Gideon.
The period is characterized by?
Amen.
They look around and see all the other nations have? So the last judge and the first prophet, who is also the king anointer,
Samuel.
Anoints the first king
Saul.
In the book of?
First.
And the second king is?
David.
In the book of?
Second.
God promises throne will last.
Forever.
The third king is?
Saul.
And whose son is he?
David's.
In the book of?
First.
The fourth son is?
Samuel.
And whose son is he?
He
wants to become richer than his father, so he taxes the people to death. As a result, the north go to?
Jericho.
The south?
Jericho.
And how many tribes in the north?
10.
And how many tribes in the south?
2.
The north is called?
Israel.
And the south is called?
Judah.
Who does God raise up to try to shape up Israel and Judah?
Prophets.
No one listens, so who does God bring in to from the north to take Israel captive? What kind of people are they? How many years after the split kingdom?
200 years.
The prophets go south and nobody listens, so God brings in?
Babylon.
What kind of people are they?
10 years.
How long are they in captivity?
7 years.
Why?
Babylon.
How many years is this captivity after the Assyrian captivity?
150 years.
Then a new empire takes over. Who are they?
And
they allow the Jews to come back in three expeditions. The first is led back by?
Israel.
And he rebuilds the?
Temple.
The second is led back by?
Israel.
And he rebuilds their?
Hearts.
The third is led back by?
Israel.
And he rebuilds the?
Walls.
And how long of a silent period between the completion of the Jewish scriptures and the coming of Christ?
400 years.
Who was the prominent world leader during this time? He is Greek, so the New Testament is written in?
Greek.
And we're done. All right, we got through the whole story of the Bible. All right, so we go from the very beginning when it gets from Abraham and the promise of Abraham all the way to the completion and introducing who Jesus is. What do you see in that storyline? What do you see as a theme, as a thing that's ongoing throughout all of that? We had talked last week, we kind of gave a sentence of what we think the whole Bible is about. And do you guys remember what that sentence that we all collectively came up with? What was that? Nobody remembers?
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus, right? We had a sentence that we said together. It had some elements of some of the people that had contributed into that. Come on, you can do this. Jesus is redemption. Yeah, that was part of it.
Salvation.
We didn't really use that word. We did use redemption, though.
Was it God's chosen people continually rejected him and God continually pursued?
Yeah, something along those lines, right? So man's continual rejection of God while he continues to pursue them through redemption, ultimately culminating in the coming of Christ and redeeming his people through that way. So something along those lines was our sentence. So a continual rejection of God and his blessings by mankind, and God pursuing them all throughout the story, culminating in Jesus' redemption. Would that be pretty accurate? Did I miss anything? Is there any elements that you think that we're missing here? Now we go back through, we walk through the whole, walk through the story. Nothing? Let me jog some of your guys' memory. We've talked a lot about the Old Testament, right? Especially through the walkthrough, but including the New Testament. What would you say is the purpose of the church? What is our task number one? Or would you say the great task, for a huge hint? Spread God's word. Go and make disciples? Yeah, right. So is that anywhere in, if we say that's our purpose, but that wasn't really included in our storyline. Do we see go and make disciples in the Old Testament? John is shaking his head, yes. Where do we see that?
All across the story.
Yeah?
God's people are supposed to display his glory in nations.
Right. Yeah, from Abraham, right? I'm going to bless you to be a blessing, right? And all throughout that storyline, Israel was to be a light to the nations, a light of God's glory and the shine of his faithfulness and his promises. And we see that then coming into the New Testament, go and make disciples, right? Go and bless all the nations. Go to all the ethne, right? That you've quoted Matthew 28. So we see that storyline. We're going all across the world. God is spreading his glory, using his people, his chosen people, to spread his gospel to the nations. So somewhere that needs to be in our sentence, right? Wouldn't you think? Somewhere in there? I don't know how to put that, so I'm asking your help. Something where we have elements of man rejecting and then God pursuing a people who is to make his name known or to be a blessing to others. Something along that line? Any of you who are smarter than me that can get all that in one nutshell?
I'll read a sentence.
Yeah.
While you're talking. Man's continual rejection of Christ and his continual pursuit of us and his redemption of us so that we will be a light to all the nations for him.
Right. So, us, you mean God's people? Or would you say mankind?
Yeah, the last part would be God's people.
Yeah, right. So mankind's continual rejection, God choosing his people to display his glory to the nations and pursuing them, something along those lines. So yeah, I like it, but I would change us to God's people somewhere in there. Yeah. And then differentiate God, mankind, which is including us, rejection of him, including God's people would constantly reject him, right? And him constantly pursuing us at the same time, using us to pursue the rest of mankind. Something like that? You guys are work with me here, right? And is that accurate? Am I still missing something? Yes? No? All right, you guys are really tired. This has been a long week, apparently, for a lot of people. All right, so where was I? So how do we know that all this is true? How do we know that this statement, how do we know that the walkthrough is true? Right? What we're trying to do, as I talked about last week, is to discover what did Jesus say on the road to Emmaus. Right? We looked at Luke chapter 24 after the resurrection, and there was two guys on that road, and the two guys were like, oh man, we thought that the Messiah was here, this was it, and we finally get to restore the kingdom of Israel, but he died and all our hopes are dashed. And Jesus said, you slow of heart, and he said he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he led them through Moses and the prophets and the writings to explain how all things pointed to him, right? And then he did the same thing when he got into the room with his disciples, and he says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So that's our task in this 10 weeks is, can we understand or discover what was Jesus saying on that road? How did he open their mind to the scriptures? How can we understand this whole scripture in light of him? And it's telling one story, because Those guys, the disciples, they thought they understood the Old Testament, right? The two guys on the road to Emmaus thought they understood it. But it wasn't until Jesus opened their minds to understand it in light of him. And so that's what we want to do this morning is we might think we understand it, but unless we interpret it in light of him, we don't understand it, right? So we're going to get the help from the sermons in Acts like we did last week and how they retold the story with Jesus as the center. And so our task today is when we read the Old Testament, will you be able to place yourself inside that story? When you open your Bible to the book of Judges or the book of Ezra, do you know where you're at in that story? So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the walkthrough again, and we're going to point out where each book of the Bible fits into that story so that you can understand. That's what this box is right here. So the task today is going through the walkthrough and showing where the Old Testament books belong in our story. So let's go through this walkthrough again, and we're going to walk through this chart, okay? Now we will tie the 11, we're going to start right here at the top. We're going to tie the 11 Old Testament books to the walkthrough, and the rest of the books will logically fall right into place. So standing at we say, what books are we in when God calls Abraham to leave his father and mother and go into a land he will show him? What book is that? And what book are we in when Abraham has two sons? And when we hear of Joseph sold into slavery, what book are we in when the Israelites move to Egypt? Genesis. Then they grow up to be a great nation. They are put into slavery. God raises up Moses, who leads them out of Egypt, a great Exodus. Crosses the Red Sea, takes a right to Mount Sinai, and what book are we in? When God gives the law to Israel at Mount Sinai, what chapter is that in Exodus? 20, Exodus 20. What other books fit here because of the detail of the civil and ceremonial laws? Leviticus. So Leviticus talks more about the civil and ceremonial laws that correspond what happened on Mount Sinai in the Ten Commandments on Exodus chapter 20. Okay, so Moses leads them to a land and numbers the nation before they go in. So what book do you think we're in now? Numbers. After they refuse to enter the land, Moses numbers them again. What book are we in? Numbers again, right. After the wandering in the wilderness on the plains of Moab, Moses gives the law to Israel a second time, and that fits with the book of Numbers. So what book is that? So Deuteronomy, it's Deuteros Nomos. That's two Hebrew words, which means second law. So second time a law is given. So that's when you see Deuteronomy, it corresponds with Acts chapter 20 and re-giving of that law right before they enter in to the promised land. So then, what are the five books that make up the law? I had about five people saying that. Let's say it again. What are the five books that make up the law? Right. Now, we turn to the second section, which is called the prophets. Remember, the three sections are called law, the prophets, and the writings. You see that in Luke chapter 24, and you'll see that throughout the New Testament. They understood the Old Testament to be in three groups, the law, the prophets, and the writings. So we're in the prophets now. So after Moses dies, who does God raise up? And so what book do you think we're in? Right. The first half of the book is conquering the land, and second half is dividing it up. And then we enter a period of ups and downs, where the judges are the rulers. So what book are we in? Judges. What book fits with the book of Judges? Ruth. The first verse in the book of Ruth says that these things took place in the times of the judges. So when you get to the book of Ruth, that corresponds is somewhere in the middle. We don't know exactly where, but somewhere in the middle of the book of Judges. Okay. At the end of the first period of the judges, at the end of the whole period of Judges, Israel wants a king. So the last judge and the first prophet is Samuel. Samuel anoints the first king in the book of? And that's the first king is who? Did Saul write any books? Did he write any books? What's the consensus? Did he write any books? No, he did not. Saul did not write any books, all right? Then Samuel anoints the second king, David, in the book of? And did David write any books? Yes. Ooh, that was a stronger yes than the stronger no. So what books did David write? Psalms, right. And so they fit in right there. The next king is Solomon in the book of? Yes, so the actual timeline and the description, or what do you call it, the narrative of Solomon is in the book of 1 Kings. And did Solomon write any books? All right, so what book or books did Solomon write? Right, so those three books Solomon wrote. So those fit in the time of Solomon. After Solomon, the king is Rehoboam, the split kingdom, and a few other kings, which are recorded in? Still 1 Kings. So Rehoboam and some of the other kings are still in 1 Kings. And then, what book describes the rest of the kings in the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity? 2 Kings. So after the end of the Babylonian captivity, what book records God restoring the hearts of his people? Ezra, right? And who writes about the rebuilding of the walls? Nehemiah. So what other book fits here, you think? I'm getting some conflicting. What did you say? The prophets? Yes, but I'm talking about in the Ezra-Nehemiah section. What other book fits there? Esther. Right. So Esther is at the time of the end of the Babylonian captivity, and so that's where Esther fits in, right in those few books of Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Right. What other books which carry the storyline at that point? Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings. Those books carry the story. Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings. So that's all the other books that we fit in there, like Ruth and 1 and 2 Chronicles, and Ezra and Nehemiah and all that. They kind of fit into that storyline of Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Okay, so what's the storyline? Which books contain that? Very, very unconfident. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Or are you guys confused? So we have the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then the next part of the story is just in contained, if you just want the chronology of events, is just contained in those six books. Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. All the other books that are in the rest of the New Testament, or in the rest of the Old Testament, fit into that chronology of events. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so if you want a little other cool hint, in the Hebrew Old Testament, there's a little marking that kind of goes like this, and it's a conjunction word, like our word for and or also or even so. And after at the beginning of each book of from Joshua all the way to 2 Kings, except for Ruth, there's that little marking, which means and. Someone's phone is ringing. Is that yours, Jane? That's okay. No problem. Okay, so there's a little marking that at the beginning of each of those books, basically saying, and then this happened. So it's not a separate book. Like Judges is not a separate book because there's a little and at the beginning of Genesis 1:1. I wish we had that in our English Bibles. But there's a little conjunction that just means and. So that means the story is continuing. It shows that in the Hebrew Old Testament. From Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings all have that little symbol that means, and then this happened, and then this happened. So that's your little cue if you're ever reading the Hebrew Old Testament. If you're that nerdy, then you'll know that it's one continuous chronological story. Okay, so now we have the former prophets. The prophet section is also made up of the latter prophets. In the latter prophets, there are three major prophets, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and then a group of minor prophets called the Book of the 12. But rather than memorizing all of them, just memorize five of those prophets: Ezekiel and Daniel, which prophesied during the captivity, and Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, which prophesied after the captivity. So we have these five books. All the rest of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all those other ones that we don't know all their names, the other 12, right? That happened before the captivity. Okay, so before 2 Kings 24, whatever, 18, something like that. That all happens before that. But then there's two that happen during, which are Ezekiel and Daniel. That happens during the captivity. And then there's three that happen after: Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We just went through, in the month of April, Zechariah. Remember how Phil talked about as they were coming out of captivity and wanting to rebuild the walls, Zechariah's calling to them, saying, come and help rebuild Jerusalem. So we see there, it is happening after the captivity. Three books: Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So that's all you have to remember, those five books. Everything else happens before captivity except for, what are the two books in the middle of captivity?
Ezekiel and Daniel.
And then what three books after? Right. Okay. Now, all the rest of the prophets are warning Israel and Judah of the coming judgment before the captivities if they continue to disobey the law. Now, this last section of books in the Old Testament is called the writings. So remember, we have the law. Law, which is what? And then we have the prophets, which are the six major timeline books, which are? And then all the rest of the prophets that fit in there, and the rest of the books that fit in there. And then we have the writings. That's the last section. The writings is the most colorful literature of the Old Testament. It's made up of the book of Psalms, which are poems and songs, which we already placed in King David. Psalms is the first book of the writings, and sometimes the writing section is just referred to as the Psalms, right? So sometimes if you read in the New Testament, you have the Psalms. Sometimes it's actually referring to all those writings that we see there. As Jesus did in the book of Luke, he talks about that. The writings also contain the wisdom literature, which we already placed with King Solomon, which is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And there are also three books included in the writings that are about heroes of the faith. What do you think those three books are that are included in the writings that are about heroes of the faith? Any guesses of what those could be? We've already mentioned some of them.
Say Ruth.
Ruth? Yes. Esther?
Job.
No. Daniel. Right. Good guess. It looked like you're unsure about that, and you're surprised it was right. All right, so those three are the heroes of the faith that are also included in the writings: Ruth, Esther, and Daniel. The last two books in the writings look at the era of Samuel and Kings from a priestly perspective rather than a historical perspective. What two books do you think those are? First and Second Chronicles. So if you read those books, you'll see, well, this sounds a lot like 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. Well, that's because they are, right? But they're written from a different perspective. You'll find a different flavor to it, and it's more of a priestly kind of flavor in that book. Just like how we have four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have different stories, but some of them are the same, some of them are from different perspectives because they're from different writings. That's the way that 1 and 2 Chronicles are. It's the same kind of content, but from a different angle, right? There is one other book that we haven't talked about, which is Job. So where does Job fit in? Where do you think Job is at in all of this? It's up there by the law? Yeah, it's up there in Genesis. We don't exactly know where, but most scholars, based upon the writing and based upon some of the things that were written in there, they're putting it somewhere in Genesis. So it's considered as part of the writings because it's a wisdom literature book, but in terms of the chronology and where it's placed, somewhere in Genesis. I know that's like a big swath, like several hundred years, but it's somewhere in there. That's all we got so far. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll say exactly where, and we might be way off. We might actually be somewhere in the 400 years of silence. Who knows? But that is where we have the whole where every book of the Bible fits in. Is everything clear on that? Does anyone have any questions on where does this one book fit in? Yeah, Harold.
Chronicles.
Yeah.
There's some who estimate that it takes place probably during the time of Ezra, that it was written for the return of exiles.
Right, right. Yes, that's right. So First and Second Chronicles was written at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah as the people of Israel are coming back to rebuild the walls. And so First and Second Chronicles are written as a testimony, as a saying, hey, guys, as we're coming back, remember our history. Remember, as we rebuild this, what we're trying to rebuild here. Not just, I mean, and Ezra's trying to rebuild their hearts, right? And so look at what God has done for his people. Look at the all of the stuff that he's trying to pursue his people now. This is, it's them calling them to that task. So yeah, actually, First and Second Kings would also be written after the captivity because, they're in captivity because that's where we end the story, right? It can't be written before captivity or else it's somehow a book of prophecy because Second Kings ends with them being led off into captivity. So First and Second Kings are written after all that. Any other questions? So that's in the, that is before exile, right? Lamentations technically would be right at the time as they are being led into exile because it's a book of lamenting over the destruction of everything. So it's not technically during, it's like right at the very end as they're being led away. So it's kind of hard to say. It's not really before and it's not really during. It's kind of like right on that line. But yeah, Ezra and Jeremiah are before captivity. Any other questions? All right, so I will be gone during the month of July, okay? When I come back in the month of August, I'm sure this paper will be in the trash, which is good because I'm going to be quizzing you on where each book of the Bible is, all right? So remember this, okay, because this is an important thing. I want you guys to remember where you are at as you read the Bible in your own individual times or even as we read it on a Sunday morning or anything like that. Okay, so the last thing I want us to do here in the last 15 minutes or so is to break up. I need seven different groups. Okay, seven different groups. How can we break up these seven different groups? I'm trying to think. This section over here can be one. Split this into two, split that into two, that's five, and somehow split this into two, this from this one onwards. Maybe Jim and Dixie, you can join these students over here. it's a pre-test for VBS, right, Dixie? All right, and then you guys back there into one group, all right? So, seven groups. What I'm gonna have you guys do is we've talked about the overarching storyline of the Bible, right? So God, what was it again? Mankind rejecting his people and God pursuing them, redeeming them, making a people for his own possession for them to declare his glory among the nations, okay? Something along those lines. If that's what we say is the storyline of the Bible, that should be there in every section of the Bible, correct? It can't just be there in some small section. It has to be there in every section. So if that's the case, what I'm going to have you do is for each, we are going to split the Bible into seven different sections, and you're going to find where that is, where that's found or how that's manifested in each of those seven sections, okay? So this one over here, you guys are going to get the law, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy. So where do we find that storyline manifested in that section? This back half, so the last two rows here, you guys have Joshua to Esther, which is the history. And then you two front rows, you guys are going to have the prophets, which are Isaiah to Malachi. The back three rows, okay? You guys are going to have the writings, which are Job to Song of Solomon. And then you two front rows, just the roads and you guys here, you guys are going to have the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You guys got the easy ones. And then the back, way back there in the back, the last two rows, you guys have the letters, which are Acts to Jude. And then this long row right here, you have the book of Revelation. Just one book. That's all you got. All right. Ready, set, break. I'll give you guys about 5 minutes. All right, time's up. Pencils down. You can turn your chairs back. I'll give you a few seconds to put your chairs back to where they were and gather up again as a main group. Good job on that last row. I didn't have to move your chairs even. That's right. Zing. All right, how was that exercise? Good. Difficult? Hard? Good?
Yeah,
good. Gabe loves it. Yeah. All right, first group over here on the west side. Did I get it right this time? On the west side. What did you guys come up with? You guys had the law, so Genesis to Deuteronomy. What did you guys have? Hey, hold on, Julie. Caleb, could you get a mic that's hot? Do I have one up here? This says Dale on it.
Okay.
Sorry, Dale. Hope nobody's sick. How do I turn it on? This way I don't have to repeat everybody and everybody can hear.
So you see God pursue a people through Abraham and then his descendants. He makes promises to them, and they continually reject him through lots of different situations, but most notably, like, in the wilderness. You see God redeem and save them pretty dramatically out of Egypt, and you also see him use them, even though they're very imperfect, to display his power and glory to the rest of the nations that are watching all these events unfold.
What did we say in the walkthrough, right? That was the three purposes to deliver, right? To convince Pharaoh, to defeat the Egyptian gods, and to convince Israel. So right there is a display of his glory to the nation, to the rest of the world. Yeah. Good. Now, my suggestion to the rest of you, take some notes on each section. Not that you're going to be quizzed later, but my idea would be take notes on each person's section, because that's going to be helpful for you guys as you understand the whole story. Pass the mic back here over to the note taker of the back group over here.
So we had the section for Joshua through 2 Kings.
Put the mic closer, John.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. It's weird. I don't like mics. We did kind of like the group to the west did, and broke up the phrase that has been developed into three sections. So God's people in the world rejecting, God pursuing and redeeming, and God's display of glory to the nations. And just came up with some examples for each. So for rejection in this section, we mentioned Saul. So the people want a king instead of just following God's rule. And then there are so many kings in 1st and 2nd Kings who reject God. So starting with Solomon turning aside to pagan idols, and then through the rest of the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, so many kings just turning away and leading God's people into idolatry. For examples of God pursuing and redeeming, we had Joshua and the remnant. They didn't die in the wilderness, and mm-hmm. God did refine them and allow them to take Canaan. We had David and the kind of the kickoff of the lineage of Christ. And then we had the remnant. So we mentioned remnant a couple times as we talked just because you can see through all these books that even though God's people continue to reject him, even as they're taken into captivity, like there's always a group of the faithful that are preserved.
Yeah.
And then finally, for God's display of glory to the nations, we had just two examples, Solomon and his wisdom. You can see through that storyline how all the nations see Israel growing and enriched in the wisdom that God gives his people. And then we mentioned Ruth. So Ruth is a Moabite, and you see her,
yeah,
her faith and her desire to, you know, follow the gods of,
yeah,
the Israelites.
Yeah, there's so many in that section, like Rahab, and I mean, you could start numbering them all off on your fingers. Yeah. We're going to have to quickly move through. We only have 2 minutes left, so the rest of the remaining groups, just kind of quickly highlight those things. Brian, you want to take that?
Well, we got stuck mainly in Isaiah. And
you had Isaiah through Malachi, all the prophets.
Yes,
yeah,
the prophets. And we kind of got stuck in Isaiah, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Isaiah 1:4 says, "O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have forsaken the Lord." So, you know, there's God's people, mm-hmm, you know, forsaking God. And then we kind of jump to Isaiah 44, verses, you know, kind of 21 and 22. "O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud." I mean,
yeah.
This is God pursuing his people.
Yeah. And then, redeeming them.
And then, yeah, and then Isaiah 53, you know, it's kind of the one we all are familiar with. You know, it's kind of Isaiah predicting the coming of Christ. And, you know, he was despised and rejected by many, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So, you know, just kind of God, you know, foretelling of Christ's coming and his redeeming of us.
Yeah, right. Yep. Awesome.
Okay, we had the four Gospels, so we saw that Jesus was rejected by his own people, his own family, Jewish leaders, even his disciples, by being betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter, and even the people, quote-unquote, the world, did not recognize him,
mm-hmm,
but rejected him. And then yet, in spite of that, Jesus healed, Jesus called followers, and he chose believers, and at the cross he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing," towards all this rejection, basically. And then he rose from the grave and ascended and gave us the commission.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, we started with Job. Job was stripped of everything, and ultimately all he had left was his faith in God. God rewarded that and essentially caused him to be born again and restored. Proverbs, the wisdom of the God who created us, giving us glimpse of himself and wisdom and how to live life under him. Ecclesiastes, how we pursue all kinds of things that ultimately are just vanity, money, sex, power, fame, vocation, but there is only purpose in God alone and glorifying him. And then Song of Solomon is a great picture of a groom pursuing his lover, his bride, and it's a picture of Christ pursuing his church.
30 seconds for both of you guys. Yeah, Whitney, go ahead.
Okay. And let's see, man's kind rejection, I mean, acts in the persecution of the church and the Jews rejecting the gospel. So therefore, the calls, the specific calls of Paul and Peter to go to the Gentiles, and then a lot of the letters, most of them are addressing, like, Christian, their sin, and then God's, like, how we should respond in light of Christ dying for our sins.
Awesome. Great.
Ours is the culmination of the whole Bible, Revelation.
Yeah.
And it all points to Jesus, and Gabe's going to read for us Revelation 21:3.
"And I heard a loud voice with the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God."
Awesome. Well, now we have the 30,000 foot view of the Bible, and hope that's been encouraging to you to see that overarching story and how it is there in every section of the Bible. It's going to be all about Jesus and God redeeming his people. So let me end in a short prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. We want our hearts to burn within us. We want to understand the scriptures. Jesus, would you open up our minds to be able to understand that? We want to understand you and understand the whole story. And it's not going to happen unless your spirit illuminates us. So do that through the rest of this study and through this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.